Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Sports Cage Podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. With amazing specials on food and ice-cold beer, there's no better place to watch your favorite sports.
Once again, we are live at Mosaic Place, and it's quiet right now. In fact, if I wanted to, just hold on here for 1 second. Yeah, there's nobody in the rink right now. We are in between draws, and unfortunately, the last draw tonight, which will have Robin Silvernagle in it, will not mean anything, as Team Saskatchewan was eliminated from the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. Earlier this afternoon, she was beaten, Robin Silvernagle, by Rachel Homan. The score in that game was, as I just bring it up here, it was 9-4 for Homan over Silvernagle. Homan took two in the second. She stole three in the third, one more in the fourth, one more in the fifth to take control. Robin got two in the eighth, but they snapped the Velcro after that, and that was it. We'll hear from Robin Silvernagle in a moment. And really, tonight's final draw of the championship pool, there's still a little bit to play for. Robin Silvernagle has nothing to play for now except for pride, and she said she's just going to have some fun here tonight when she takes on BC's Corinne Brown. But Northern Ontario's Krista McCarville has secured the fourth and final playoff spot here at the Scotties. She defeated Prince Edward Island Suzanne Burt 6-5 to join Rachel Homan, Carrie Enerson, and the Jennifer Jones wildcard team for this weekend's playoffs. Playoff seedings are still in play heading into the finale tonight. Homan and Jones are both 9-1. Enerson is 8-2, so they're looking for a top two ranking. McCarville will be the fourth seed. The top two meet tomorrow night, with the winner advancing directly to Sunday's final. The loser drops to the semifinal to face the winner of Saturday afternoon's playoff game between the third and fourth seeds. In both Page games, the higher seed starts the game with last rock advantage. Homan faced Enerson, and Jones will play McCarville on Friday night. And as mentioned, the rest of the field fell out of contention with five or more losses. And as mentioned, Robin Silvernagle is one of those teams now that has five or more losses. She is 5-5. Last night, Robin Silvernagle just simply ran out of gas. It was the fourth game she had played in basically 24 hours. You remember she played her final round robin game of pool play. Then she had the tiebreaker game against New Brunswick, a game she won. Then she beat Prince Edward Island, but she just didn't have it last night, as she was beaten by Jennifer Jones and Team Wildcard. Four games in a, I think it was a 29-and-a-half-hour period. A lot of rocks that were thrown, a lot of energy expended. It was a tough night for Robin Silvernagle as she ran out of gas. She was hoping to sort of round everything together and get a win against Rachel Homan here this afternoon. To have that game mean something tonight against BC's Corinne Brown, but Rachel Homan came out firing today. And I put it out on Twitter about an hour ago. I get the feeling that Jennifer Jones is going to walk out of here on Sunday night with her seventh Scotties. It will be her third Scotties win in Saskatchewan if she were to do that. Of course, she won here in Moose Jaw 5 years ago. She also won in Regina. Jennifer Jones, since being beaten by Rachel Homan in the second draw of this event last Saturday afternoon, has been lights out, and she's just been, to use some Stampede wrestling analogy, she's just been getting rid of the competition. And she's making it look easy, and I would say it's probably going to be Jones and Homan in the final on Sunday night. But we'll have to see. They'll probably be in the 1-2 game, but Robin Silvernagle will not be in the playoffs. When she leaves the ice tonight against BC, her Scotties will be over. And about an hour and a half ago, she spoke with me and several other reporters after the game against Rachel Homan.
We definitely struggled a little bit with ice, and Rachel's team played really, really well. They just didn't give us a lot of missed opportunities, I guess. And yeah, it was just a bit of a battle.
How are you feeling?
Oh, it's good. I mean, we're happy that we made it to the championship round. Yes, we know we don't have a chance in making playoffs now, but that's okay. We're still just excited to play tonight, and we'll just fully enjoy the crowd and the experience. And just, we learned a lot from this whole week, for sure.
What have you learned?
From this week? Sorry.
Oh, there's so many things. Just, you know, gaining all those experiences and playing those tight games, winning some, losing some. You can take away many things, you know, even with our team and how we perform our best and what we need to do to perform our best.
Win losses aside, what was the difference from this year to last year?
Well, we were definitely in a very tough pool this year, and you know, we had a couple games that we could have won, so that was the difference, was those two losses that were potential wins and we would have been into playoffs. So that was just the difference.
Did you guys run out of gas a little bit today after the crazy 24 hours yesterday?
Not today. I think we had a lot of rest today. Yesterday, last night, we definitely ran out of gas, but today, no, we just were a little fooled on the ice.
You touched on it just a few questions ago, but how do you prepare for tonight's game, and what's the
I think the goal is just to go have fun, you know, fully be completely present and enjoy this experience. This will be our last game playing at home, so just have a lot of fun and make a lot of great shots.
Throughout the week, you've been saying you've been zoning out the crowd and everything, so I guess with the final game, maybe you're going to embrace it a little more.
Yeah, maybe. We'll just maybe get into the crowd a little bit more.
What are the weekend? What do you do on the weekend? Are we going to hang around here to watch it end?
Haven't thought about that yet.
Do you just watch the crowd a bit more in this afternoon or this evening's game, you know, just kind of like try to take the experience in more than the actual outcome of the game?
Not this game I didn't. Next game I probably will. Yeah, the next game I definitely will. Just even looking today and seeing how full the stands were, it's pretty cool to be there even when we got walked out and it was a pretty loud roar. It's, you got to take that in.
You were a hometown rink at a Slam event. Obviously that was your hometown, but it was a little bit different there than it is here. Being the hometown rink, what was it like?
In North Battleford?
And here.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, everybody's behind you and supporting you and wants you to do well. So we're disappointed that we're not going on into the playoffs, but we, you know, attained some of our goals this week as well.
And there you go, as they bring, hold on, what is that, all the jewelry for the final? Well, yeah, guys bring all the jewels thing. The wife has to drop off. No, I think you've got me confused with someone else. But we, as you hear from Robin Silvernagel, man, that's a lot of bling that they're taking out there. That is Robin Silvernagel, and obviously disappointed that she won't be in the playoffs, the Page playoffs. She'll finish things off tonight against BC, and I think we'll have a pretty good crowd here tonight. And I think when that game is over, I think Robin Silvernagel is going to get a great ovation from the fans here at Mosaic Place. They've been very appreciative of her play this week. There have been a few that have been a little bit grumpy because of some missed shots, but at the end of the day, I think that Robin Silvernagel will get a very warm ovation here tonight when her Scotties comes to an end. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, big weekend for the Regina Pats. We'll talk to their play-by-play man, Phil Andrews. When we return, you are listening to The Sports Cage. Presentation of Nelson Holmes today on 620 CKRM.
It's 4:17 with your afternoon rush. I'm Zinger. Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. Team Saskatchewan has officially been eliminated after losing 9-4 to Team Ontario at the Scotties and Moose Jaw earlier this afternoon. So it's Team Northern Ontario. They'll be joining Manitoba, Team Wildcard, and Ontario in the playoffs. Saskatchewan heads into their final game sitting at 5-5. They will play Team BC, who is also eliminated from playoff contention. Game time tonight at 6:30 p.m. And the BC Lions have signed a pair of receivers in free agency. One of them is former Rider. The Lions taking both Dominic Rimes and Caleb Pauly to contracts today. So Dominic Rimes, Caleb Pauly heading to Vancouver, British Columbia. And the Regina Pats play three home games in 3 days starting tonight. The first game sees the Saskatoon Blades come to town for a 7 o'clock start. We will have the game for you starting with the pregame show with Phil the Thrill Andrews. Let me say that right. Phil the Thrill Andrews. He's about to join us. The least I can do, Mitchell Blair, is say his name right. Boy, oh boy. There's your afternoon rush.
Boy, it's been a long week for us out here. You still have just been sitting in the studio and you're bumbling and stumbling. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's not been a good few days for me. My throat has not been well, and I'm just bumbling, stumbling away. And, you know, it's the way she goes in radio, I guess, sometimes.
All right. Well, it is Friday, so you'll have the weekend. By the way, I love the pregnant pause there when you said a former Rider receiver.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh my God, Naaman Roosevelt, a BC Lion.
Yeah.
And you said Caleb Pauly.
So, did you like that? Right. Yeah, I planned
I did.
It out.
I did like that. By the way, I should tell you, Derek Taylor not with me. As you know, Derek was with us Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the normal host of this show. Derek had a family emergency, had to go back home to Manitoba. He will be back with us next week, maybe on Monday. Probably Tuesday, but DT not with us today. He will be back with us next week. All right, big weekend for the Regina Pats. This guy doesn't have to worry about taking his blanket and stuffy on the bus with him because the Pats will be at home three times this weekend, tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon. He is the voice of the Pats. He is Phil Andrews, and he joins us on the Western Pizza Hotline. How are you, my good man?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's different being in Mosaic Place, as you would well know, when the Moose Jaw Warriors aren't playing. Usually when I'm here, it's to watch the Moose Jaw Warriors, and I know when I was texting you earlier today, I said I've resisted the urge all week not to wear anything with the Pats logo on it for fear of getting beaten up. But you know what that's like in this building, and you've got a busy weekend, and it starts tonight with what's going to be a very special night at the Brandt Center as the Pats celebrate Autism Awareness Night.
Yeah, it's a really exciting new thing that we started this year. And, you know, a lot of credit has to go to Kellen Enslev in our office, our marketing director. It's, you know, a cause that is kind of near and dear to his heart. And threw out the idea this summer and did a lot of work in getting everything kind of lined up for tonight's game and, you know, getting the specialty jerseys that the Pats are going to wear tonight and just working with, you know, the different people in the community and how we can support and best do that for people with autism here in the Queen City. So I'm really excited to be able to support Chippendale Housing here in Regina. It's a great organization, not-for-profit, that, you know, just really tries to help people with intellectual and physical disabilities to live their best lives, to work and live and all that type of stuff. So we're auctioning off the jerseys at reganapats.com/autism right now up until 8 o'clock tonight. All proceeds from that are going to Chippendale's Housing. And then, you know, the rink boards in the rink are all different. They got the puzzle piece autism theme tonight. And, yeah, it's going to be really exciting. Stuff going on in the concourse. Fans are going to come in the building. And we got a bunch of Autism Awareness Night canine puzzles that we're giving away for all the kids. So, yeah, it's a special one tonight, and looking forward to it.
The jerseys, for those that haven't seen them, what do they look like tonight?
So, anybody that you know, maybe knows autism or anything like that, the puzzle piece is kind of synonymous with autism awareness. And so there's maybe a four-piece puzzle, I guess you could say, in the middle is the crest, and then it says Pats underneath. They got the kind of Royal Navy blue and then some, you know, designs on the arms, and then the guys will be wearing game socks tonight, too. I think they look really sharp, but we're really lucky to have the Brand group of companies, you know, Sean and Gavin Semple being two of our owners, that their design group, have done an incredible job doing jerseys for us in the past. They did the Memorial Cup jersey, the 100th anniversary jersey, and they did a real good job on this one for tonight.
Phil, the hockey team had a five-game win streak snapped, and then they sort of had some tough times, but they finished off the road trip in Edmonton with a win. They had a tough loss in PA the other night. Three big games coming up, and the thing that I look at when I look at this team, and I didn't really realize it until I was looking at the standings, we see what's happening in Kelowna with the Memorial Cup host. That's a team that only has 52 points this year. This is a Regina Pats team that goes into the night still rebuilding from the Memorial Cup. They've got 43 points, and they could really add to that total this weekend with some tough games at home. Let's not kid ourselves. The opposition is going to be tough, especially tomorrow night when Edmonton comes in here, and they're going to be nasty after what you guys did to them up there. But this is a chance to maybe get back to playing that type of hockey you were playing when you won five in a row.
Yeah, it's an interesting stat looking at, you know, where Kelowna is in the standings, where Regina is. And actually, if you go back to after the first 11 games for the team, the Pats obviously had that real tough start at 1-10. But since then, they've got more points in the standings than Kelowna does. And since the deadline, they have 8 more points. That's maybe more of a detriment to Kelowna than maybe saying the Pats have been really good because they've been a 500 team since that 1-10 start. But you know what? This is a team that's played well. And, you know, yes, coming off a loss at PA on Wednesday and then, you know, a 2-1 loss to Brandon on Monday. But, you know, both games they're in, playing two really good teams, you know, really well. Donovan Buskey's been so good as of late. And, you know, just looking to carry it over into this weekend. I was asked to Neptune tonight, a team that the Pats have beaten both times so far this year and have played them very well. You know, Edmonton is going to come in here tomorrow looking for some revenge after, you know, losing the Pats on home ice last week. And, you know, they're the number one team in Eastern Conference, so, you know, a tough matchup there. And then the Brandon Wheat Kings back in for the last of the 3-3. So, yeah, I mean, you're right, some three tough opponents, but it looks like the Pats are going to get Jacob Brook into the lineup for the first time since being acquired from Prince Albert, the Max Paddock trade. I think he's going to play tonight, not for sure, but it sounds like he's going to be in the lineup, so excited to be able to add him. He's going to be a, you know, a big part of the top six for the rest of this year and for the years going ahead. So, yeah, the big three games.
You know, you talked about it a minute ago, that start that really killed this hockey team. And, man, if they could have been even 500, we might be talking maybe, you know, having a playoff push here. And that's been the most frustrating thing about this season is the fact that you guys have played so well, especially after Christmas, a 500 hockey team. And you go, man, if we could just have had a few of those games back at the start of the season. And, you know, as I said, you beat the Edmonton Oil Kings at Rogers Place. They're the second-best team in the Western Hockey League right now. The other night, DT and I listened to you, your game coming back from Moose Jaw when we were done here, and the Pats lost 3-1 in a game that really they weren't out of. Donovan Busky made some big saves. This is a Regina team that it doesn't matter who the opposition is, and I know some people have said, well, yeah, they're getting beat by the top teams. They might be getting beat by the top teams in Edmonton. They beat them, but this is a team that's going to give you a battle each and every night, and really the records don't mean anything when the Pats hit the ice.
Yeah, I think you break it down even further in the record. Almost 70% of their games have been one-goal games or a game where an empty netter was scored. That just goes to show how close they've been. To be where they are, you know, is, you know what, I guess with Red Deer winning the other day, now there's the second team out of the playoffs, so they have a couple of games in hand on the Rebels. But, you know, they're a team that has been in every night, like you said, and they battle hard, they work hard, and for what they lack maybe in that high-end skill and, you know, goal-scoring ability, they've been able to make up with, you know, some just real good efforts night in and night out and getting some good goaltending, and, you know, the back end's really taking a step. So I think the future looks really bright for this team considering how they've played over the last, 40 games. And just looking to continue to build on it. But you're right, it is a little, it's tough to look at that 1-10 start because, you know, if you go even, you know, 5-6, then you got, you know, another maybe 8 points in the standings and you're within 8 points of Saskatoon and you're going to play them four more times this year and you got a chance, right? But 1-10 is tough to bounce back from in any league. I don't care what you play.
And, Phil, I'd be remiss, 3 games in 3 nights, and you guys have got some promotions for tickets this weekend as well. Maybe just give me the information on that.
Yeah, we're really excited actually to partner with Harvard Broadcasting at 620 CKRM for this offer. You know, for the first time and, you know, certainly in my time doing games, to play 3-3 isn't that uncommon, but to do all three at home, I mean, it's tough for any family to be able to commit to that type of financial, you know, to take your family to 3 games. So we're excited to offer 2-for-1 tickets for all 3 games this weekend. If you go to Ticketmaster.ca and find the Regina Pats, there's select seats available 2-for-1, and you get a chance to come in. It's going to be a full barn tonight, I know, with Autism Awareness Night, but yeah, it's a good opportunity, I think, for families to come out and see this team for the 3 games this weekend.
Phil, I'm a little busy at Mosaic Place. Otherwise, you know, I'd be there for at least one of them. By the way, I have to tell you, I did not take that handful of Pat stickers you left me to drop off at certain spots in this building. I tried. I left them at the office today. I'm sorry, buddy.
That's okay. Hey, just try not to fall asleep this weekend, eh?
All right. Phil Andrews, thanks a lot for the time. Have a good call tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, cheers, pal.
All right, Phil Andrews, the voice of the Pats here on 620 CKRM, and he joins us on the Western Pizza Hotline for a limited time. You don't pay a delivery fee when you order from participating Western Pizza locations online or through the app. I may be doing that when I hit Regina back tonight after the evening draw. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what they've got in the sponsors lounge for supper tonight, but Western Pizza around 9:30, 10 o'clock, I might be able to do that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will have much more for you. From Moose Jaw and the Scotties Tournament of Hearts, who are listening to the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. Today's one big number is 1. Going into the night, Edmonton Oilers forward Leon Draisaitl is the NHL's leading scorer with 95 points, 11 better than his nearest competitor. How much have the Oilers had to depend on the former Prince Albert Raider this year? When Draisaitl has registered at least 1 point, the Oilers, who are in a fight for first in the Pacific Division, have a record of 32-13-4. When Draisaitl fails to register 1 point, Edmonton does not register a win. They are 0-8-3 when he's held off the score sheet. Holding him off the score sheet will be tasked to the Minnesota Wild tonight, and it will not be easy. Draisaitl also leads the NHL with 29 multiple-point games, four more than the closest skater, David Pastrnak, who has 26. He's also earned at least 1 point in 49 of 60 games this season. One big number is for Linex. Linex brand truck bed liners, serious protection, killer looks. Visit Linex at 1865 McCarra Street or Google Regina Linex. Mitchell Blair with you in a rather empty Mosaic Place right now. The afternoon draw is over, and the last draw of the championship pool will be coming up tonight. The four playoff teams are now known. It will be Jennifer Jones, Team Wildcard, Ontario's Rachel Homan, Manitoba's Carrie Enerson, and Northern Ontario's Krista McCarville. Robin Silvernagel was eliminated earlier this afternoon when she was beaten by Rachel Homan. A trade in the NHL. The Winnipeg Jets have acquired forward Cody Eakin from the Vegas Golden Knights, the former Swift Current Bronco. It's an exchange for a conditional fourth-round draft pick in 2021 that could become a third-rounder if the Jets make the playoffs or re-sign Eakin. In 41 games with the Golden Knights this season, Eakin has 4 goals and 6 assists. The 28-year-old is heading home. He's from Winnipeg. He spent the last 3 seasons with the Golden Knights after previously playing with Dallas and Washington. In 578 games, the 2009 third-round draft pick has 102 goals and 130 assists, and he apparently has rubbed elbows with Sean Kleisinger at the Owl a time or two. Zinger, do you want to expand on that?
No, this is very true. I was at the Owl probably about 2013, 2014, the bar at the university. If anyone out there listening is like, what's the Owl? Everyone in Regina knows what the Owl is. But yeah, Cody Eakin was there in the flesh. Saw him there, just walking around. No one know who he was. And I was like, is that Cody Eakin? Cody Eakin of then, I think it was the Dallas Stars. And I was like, yep, that's Cody Eakin. So never went up to him and said anything, but that's my story. I'll take it to my grave, I guess. Saw Cody Eakin at the Owl.
There you go. Do we have our next guest on the line?
So we do. Luke Mullander
we
is
do?
Ready.
All right.
Yes.
Luke Mullander is ready, and he joins us on the Western Pizza Hotline. How are you, big man?
I'm good, man. How are you, Scruff?
I'm doing good. Hey, listen, I have a question to ask you. 5 years ago,
yep.
You came down here with me a couple of times. You watched the Scotties. You sort of got interested in curling, and I remember you saying, you know what, Scruff, I could get three guys together, and we might take us a couple of years, but we're going to start killing it. Now, I know that Jared
Absolutely.
Allen and those guys, they did that down in the U.S., some former NFL players. What happened to that agenda, Luke? That sort of seemed to disappear from your plans.
Well,
what happened?
You know,
did you just not get anybody?
That goal has never actually gone away, and it's still a high priority. Unfortunately, the difference between me and Jared Allen was that he had significant savings after leaving the National Football League. me played in the cash flow low league, had to pretty much transfer into the workforce immediately or file for bankruptcy. So my plans have been obviously delayed. However, it's still a goal. And dude, by the way, my other plan is if I can't get into curling in the next couple of years, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fund a curling club in Nunavut. And I'm going to give them the same facilities that all of those people that you're watching now have, and I'm guaranteeing you the best curlers in Canada will come out of Nunavut in 5 or 6 years with the same facilities. Everything will be even.
All right. Ashley Howard, if you are listening, we need to get Luke Mullander on the ice at the Highland Club next winter with some guys and start filming the documentary as Mullander goes from football player to curler.
It'd be an ESPN 30 for 30 instant classic.
Absolutely it would be. It might even be a 3 for 3. All right. The CFL, we've talked about it this week on this show, and I wanted to get your take on it. So the XFL, and I don't know because I haven't really asked you. You may have talked about it with DT about what you think of the league, but I haven't asked you about it. The first week I watched, I was entertained. I don't like everything that they do, but there are some things that certainly are interesting and I think have to be moved forward with not just the CFL, but other football leagues like the instant review and the transparency of the instant review when they go up to the command center.
Love that.
But there's been some talk this week about the XFL being a threat to the CFL. It's when guys like Derek Dennis or Monty Edwards, SJ Green, head down to the XFL. And some people are going, is this bad news for the CFL? Luke, I still think that the XFL is on the same path as the AAF. I think they'll get through a year, unlike the AAF. I think it's way too early to start calling the XFL a threat to the CFL. Where are you?
I don't believe it's a threat at all, to tell you the truth. You know, if you look at Derek Dennis, Armani Edwards, S.J. Green, S.J. Green's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. He's pretty much just playing ball to play ball, right? He's not worried about the money, I don't think. Here's the thing. It actually works both ways, Gruff. So I talked to a football agent of mine, a friend of mine, and we were talking, and I said, hey, you know, what's the deal with, you know, comparatively with the XFL and the CFL? And obviously, you know, he talked about the $5,000 per game thing, but an interesting thing he said was these guys are on year-to-year contracts. However, if the CFL, so say Derek Dennis balls out, if the CFL offers him a contract, the XFL can actually match it if they wanted to.
Oh, really?
And okay. They retain Derek Dennis's rights, right? So that's a good thing because let's say it's more than what Derek Dennis is getting in the XFL. If the team really wants him, they can match it and Derek Dennis gets paid more, right? However, man, like we got to really think about this. Armani Edwards, Derek Dennis, their goal, if it's to get back up to the CFL, there's also some risk there because if they go down there and they don't play well, that's the most recent film. A team can say, well, look, you know what? We were thinking about giving Armani Edwards $150K. We didn't know if we could afford it. He's gone down to the XFL, and he hasn't done anything. Man, I think we have leverage on him. Let's offer him $60K and nothing more because we have guys in our feeder systems that we can look at in spring camp. So there's some risk on the guys that are going down there on their side. Obviously, S.J. Green's immune to that risk because he's on the other side of his career. But for younger guys who want to play football, who don't necessarily, you know, aren't getting what they want in the CFL or what offered what they want in the CFL, it's a good opportunity to go down and to show that you can ball out and you're worth what you want, right? Again, it all goes back to living the dream, man. Like, people don't understand how small the window is, Scruff. You know what I mean? Like, me and you, we can do radio until we get fired when we're 70, right? But football, man, it's such a small blip on the radar of life that you really got to use every single avenue that you can and just empty the tank because it doesn't last long.
Are you surprised that someone like S.J. Green went down to the XFL?
Not at all. Not at all. You knew Trestman was going to be down there. You know they were probably going to be higher on the waiver wire so they'd be able to make some pickups. And I think that's the thing. Look at the coaches there. They got Trestman. They got, like, look at, I mean, Steve Spurrier. Like, dude, they have some coaches there. I know you've seen that coaching list throughout the teams. Excellent coaching. That's what's going to keep that league afloat because that's what – because the players, be honest, I mean, the players aren't exactly the cream of the crop. If they were, they'd be in the NFL, right, Scruff? So
– yeah.
Or they'd be signed in the CFL, in my opinion, right? So the coaches are going to increase that on-field productivity by just doing a good job getting guys lined up in the X's and O's. So that's something that the CFL – but I've always said that, right? And you guys, it sounds like a broken record to you guys by now, but, man, I've always said it's the coaches that we need. Right, the availability of football players is always going to outweigh the need for them, right? So it's the coaches that actually offset, you know, for instance, the Canadian players that are behind the eight ball coming from U Sport, things like that.
Here's a question for you. We've already seen some guys go down. There are two names that Rider fans keep asking me about. In fact, I had one person ask me about this today when I was here at Mosaic Place.
Yeah.
Do you see guys like Thad Coleman or Naaman Roosevelt trying to hook on with an XFL team?
Well, you know what? I mean, it all depends on what they're doing with their real life. I know Thad's a good personal trainer. You know, he keeps his body in shape. He might have a client list that he's just not willing to leave to go down and play in the XFL, right? If Naaman Roosevelt really wants to play and, you know, he gets an option down there that's better than an option in the Canadian Football League. Again, keep in mind, Naaman can go down there, right, and play until April. Right? It'll get him in the best shape of his life. He can come up there and he'll be ready for training camp, right? Because it'll be April. He's been playing. The rest of these guys would have been running around in shorts, right? But again, there's always risk. The film might not be there. He could get hurt, right? So, you know, all these people that are saying, oh, man, you know, CFL's losing out. Oh, man, it's so good for these players. Like, they're taking a risk, too, because if they don't ball or they don't, and they don't get stay healthy, then the CFL thing is probably out the window.
But isn't that, can't you say that, though, for all these guys that are signing one-year contracts? Like, you know, like I'm just going to use Shaq Evans as an example. Shaq Evans obviously had a great year, and he leveraged it into a big contract from the Saskatchewan Roughriders. if Shaq Evans goes out this year and A, gets hurt, B, only catches 55 balls for 700 yards and 5 touchdowns, goes back to his rookie season where he was plagued by drops, I don't think the Riders are going to offer him what they had, and I don't know what the Riders would offer him. But a lot of guys with this one-year contract, they're doing the same thing, so why not just try and do it up here instead of down there?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You got to remember, we've got restricted rosters. We also have, you know, Canadians that occupy one receiver spot at least. And if you, you know, especially a fullback spot, right? Like, their roster spot is literally etched in stone. So it's probably harder to get, you know, scouted and a place found for you, right? You got to remember that, you know, that if they're a young receiver, they're just going to get the same opportunity. Shaq has the opportunity, but he's getting paid right now. Right, you're right, Scruff. Like, if he doesn't ball out, if he doesn't, right, the Riders might cut him. But that's, at least he was at that point to where he had that opportunity, right? These guys in the XFL, these guys who are on the street right now, I mean, there's no opportunity in front of them, so they got to take what they have. I think that's the difference.
Luke, I want to take a break. I know it's just a couple minutes earlier than what we normally would, but I want to take a break because on the other side, I want to talk to you. You've sort of got a very interesting take on Touchdown Atlantic and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And I'm very interested to hear about this take. I know you texted me about it earlier today, and you said, I can explain this if you want. I think I know where you're going on this, and this is why I didn't sort of touch base with you beforehand, because I want to hear it, and then we can discuss it. It's a very interesting take that you have, and I think if I'm on the same wavelength as you, and God knows if that's the case, that's a scary thought, my friend. But it's an interesting debate, I think, you're going to bring up here right away. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, Luke Mullender has some thoughts on Touchdown Atlantic. Of course, that's the Riders and the Argos in the game that's going to be played in Halifax later this year. You are listening to The Sports Cage, a presentation of Nelson Holmes on 620 CKRM. And the Curling Report, as it has all week, comes live from Mosaic Place, where right now they are in between draws. There is one final draw to go here in the championship pool. That will happen at 6:30. Team Saskatchewan's Robin Silvernagle will finish off her Scotties Tournament of Hearts when she takes on BC's Corinne Brown in a battle of 5-5 teams. Other games tonight, it'll be Northern Ontario's Krista McCarville against Jennifer Jones. McCarville 7-3, Jones 9-1. Both those teams are in the playoffs, as is Ontario's Rachel Homan and Manitoba's Carrie Enerson. They will play tonight. Homan is 9-1. Enerson is 8-2. The other game is Chelsea Carey, 4-6, against Prince Edward Island, 5-5. Now, as mentioned, we had a draw here at 12:30 this afternoon, and in that game, it was Jones walloping Enerson by a score of 12-7. Jones led it 8-2 after three. She got 4 in the first with Last Rock, added 4 more in the third. Then she took 3 in the seventh as she clobbered Enerson here today. It was BC upsetting Chelsea Carey by a score of 9-2. Not a good week for the defending champions here in Moose Jaw. Corinne Brown breaking it open with a steal of 4 in the eighth. They snapped the Velcro after that. It was Northern Ontario hanging on to beat Prince Edward Island by a score of 6-5. Suzanne Burt tried to make it interesting, and had Burt won, the Silvernagle game tonight might have meant something. But McCarville with the win, she ends up with a record of 7-3. Burt took 2 in the 10th, needed 3. Just about had it, not quite. So McCarville moves on, and of course in the Saskatchewan-Ontario game, it was all Ontario. They stole 3 in the third, added a steal in the fourth, added another steal in the fifth as they went on to beat Robin Silvernagle by a score of 9-4. Page playoffs go this weekend here at the Scotties. The final is on Sunday night, and of course the winner advances to the Worlds in Prince George, BC. That's the Sports Cage Curling Report for today. I'm Mitchell Blair.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. It is 4:50 with your sports ticker. Team Saskatchewan wraps up their 2020 Scotties tonight against Corinne Brown and Team British Columbia. Both teams have been eliminated from playoff contention. Team BC going out with somewhat of a bang, I guess. They defeated Chelsea Carey 9-2 this afternoon, eliminating Team Canada. The Saskatoon Blades are at the Brand Center tonight to take on the Pats. 620 CKRM has the game for you starting at 7. This will be the third meeting of the year between the two, with the Pats taking the first two. And the Columbus Blue Jackets' leading goal scorer, Oliver Yorkstrand, is expected to miss the rest of the regular season after he suffered a sprained and fractured ankle during Thursday's loss to the Philadelphia Flyers. Yorkstrand is expected to miss 2 to 3 months, meaning Columbus would have to make a deep run into the playoffs for him to return. The Jackets are already without defenseman Seth Jones and forward Cam Atkinson as they try to get into the playoffs. And Scruffy mentioned it earlier, the Vegas Golden Knights are sending Cody Eakin up north to Manitoba. Winnipeg Jets picking up Cody Eakin. In return, Vegas gets a conditional fourth-round pick that could go to a third. And there are six games tonight in the NHL, including the Bruins in Calgary and Mitchell Scruffy Blair's Edmonton Oilers, home to the Minnesota Wild. Is big question is he going to be able to watch this game tonight, Mitch? Are you going to be able to watch
the
Oilers?
You know what? I will have my satellite radio on tonight. I will be listening to Jack Michaels and Bob Stauffer on the way home at some point.
I feel you.
And, I'll be listening to them on the Oilers' flagship radio station, 630 CHED. Of course, I do a lot of that as it is. I listen to them because...
Big radio guy.
How do I put this right? So, when Rod Black's doing games on TSN and the Riders are playing, I will sync up the Google Home so I can get Derek and Luke. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I have to do that with the Oilers games as well, because Kevin Quinn and Drew Remenda drive me right up the flipping wall, especially Remenda. Like, good God, man, can you mumble any more into the mic and say anything more stupid than what you do sometimes? Louis DeBrusque needs to take over that spot.
Testify. Or church, as the kids say. Church.
Yes, and
Scruffy.
I know a lot of people in Edmonton, they feel the same way as me.
Church.
So, anyhow. All right, let's go back to the Western Pizza Hotline. Let's go to Luke Mullender, who does a much better job doing football than somebody else doing hockey. And, Luke, you told me this today, and I thought about this when you sent me the text about what you wanted to talk about. And I'm like, where's he going on this? And all of a sudden, I sort of realized where you were going on this. And I think I know where you are going to take this. But you were sort of, you have some questions when it comes to Touchdown Atlantic, the Rider game in Halifax against the Argonauts. And you're asking if it's fair for the Riders to have to bear the eastern burden of marketing and promo for the 10th CFL team. So the stage is yours. Stand up on your soapbox. Go ahead.
Well, I'm too heavy to stand on the soapbox. It'll collapse. So I'm just going to sit in my car and put it this way. I was really pleased, obviously, when I saw the Riders that were going to Touchdown LA. And this is just more of a statement than anything. I don't want to hear anything else from anybody in the Canadian Football League about the Riders not being the premier team, the premier ticket, Canada's team, because it's true. It's absolutely true. And they proved it with the Touchdown Atlantic game, right? So I'm sitting there celebrating. I'm like, oh, man, there's going to be like a mini Grey Cup festival. You know, Rider Nation is going to come in from everywhere. But then I realized, once I took a look behind that green curtain, I said, wait a second, the Riders have actually done the league a huge solid here, because they're bearing a ton of pressure from the CFL, because in my mind, if this Touchdown Atlantic doesn't go off, the 10th team doesn't go off, right? So they're bringing everything, and the league's going to throw everything they can have at it, and it's good for them to bring the Riders, and it's even better if the Riders agree to it, right? But man, that's the kind of pressure that they're taking on, right? Because the league knows, hey, you know what, no one else is like, listen, all these Bomber fans that are listening today that act like they don't listen to the show and are listening to the show, you couldn't do it. You're the Grey Cup champions, and they were like, nah, we're good. You can stay in Winnipeg for your game. We're going to use the Riders, right? And it's valid because, man, like, literally the whole league is going to be looking at this game, and they're going to be saying, oh, man, we hope that Atlantic Canada gets it now that the Riders are doing this. We hope Atlantic Canada sees the potential. And you know what? Kudos to the Riders for taking that pressure on, and I don't want to hear it from anybody else from now on. Right, that the Riders aren't the premier ticket in this league, because the Atlantic game absolutely proves it.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. And when we found out that the Rider game in Toronto was going to be played at a neutral site game, I think we all knew what was happening there. It doesn't matter if that game's the biggest draw of the year for the Argos; they wanted to take that game somewhere to continue on with the agenda that Randy Ambrosie has, and obviously having that team out in Atlantic Canada is what he wants. So bringing the Riders out there to show them what it could be like is something that didn't surprise me at all. And you talk about them being Canada's team, and this isn't going to come as a surprise. There's a reason why the Saskatchewan Roughriders are playing a Thursday night game in Hamilton. There's a reason why the Saskatchewan Roughriders are playing a Thursday night game in Montreal this year. It's because of TV numbers and Thursday night football. And TSN wants the team that is the most popular team in the league, and the TV numbers show it, to be on Thursday night football, which is something they're still trying to promote actively and something they say is working. You know that that's why they're playing those two games on a Thursday night. Rider fans hate the fact that they have a Thursday night home game. There's a reason for that, because they want to promote the Saskatchewan Rough Riders on Thursday night football, and you can't argue that, Luke.
Well, it's funny, right? But that's the thing. You knew that, right? Like, and it makes sense. I mean, if I'm sitting in the CFL league office, you're damn right,
yep,
I want Saskatchewan.
You're damn Thursday, right, yep. Right?
But if you really think about it, if you really think about the gravity of the situation, going out east, playing this touchdown Atlanta game, and knowing that, you know what, there are a lot of unknowns, right? I know that we've made a ton of announcements that make it seem like something's happening, but then, you know, things trail off. Like, I really look at this as a be-all, end-all type of deal. Grand opening, grand closing. If this doesn't work out, and the Riders and Atlantic Canada doesn't get the picture once the Riders are there, they're never going to get the picture. Period.
No, I agree with you on that 110%. Yeah. Luke, have yourselves a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday in studio. I think it's going to be you and me, because I think DT is still going to be away. But have yourself a good weekend, and we'll chat Monday.
Yeah, man. Enjoy the rest of the curling. I'll be watching.
All right. That is Luke Mullender, Rider Radio analyst. And, I don't disagree with what Luke has to say at all. All right. Hour one in the books. When we come back for hour two, we will be joined by TSN's Brian Mudrick. Of course, he's been doing the morning draws here at the Scotties, and it's a big day for TSN tomorrow when it comes to curling across the country. So we'll talk to Brian about that and get his thoughts on what we've seen here in Moose Jaw this week. Hour two coming up, hour one done. If you missed any of it, you can go back later tonight, listen to the podcast for our friends at the Canadian Brewhouse. You are listening to The Sports Cage, live from the 2020 Scotties Tournament of Hearts at Mosaic Place in Moose Jaw on 620 CKRM.
Sitting in for Derek Taylor is Mitchell Blair.
Good afternoon, Saskatchewan, whoever you may be listening, wherever you may be listening from. Thanks for tuning in to The Sports Cage. We are live for the last day at the 2020 Scotties Tournament of Hearts here at Mosaic Place in Moose Jaw. The show today brought to you by Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. If you've missed any of the program and any of what we had in the first hour, you can go back and listen to the podcast. For the Canadian Brewhouse, don't miss the Tomahawk Steak Night Saturday, February 22nd. Get a 30-ounce steak with all the fixings for just $39.99. Speaking of steaks, if I have time tonight, I'm going to tell you a story about Baltimore Ravens offensive lineman Bradley Bozeman, who would probably just think that Tomahawk Steak Night at the Brewhouse and the 30-ounce steak would just be an appetizer. So I'll tell you about that if we get a chance later on in the program. There is one draw to go in the championship pool here at the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. Saskatchewan will obviously be in it because Robin Silvernagle made the championship pool. She'll play BC's Corinne Brown tonight, but it doesn't matter if she wins or loses. At the end of the night, Robin Silvernagle will be done. She was beaten by Rachel Holman this afternoon, and that officially eliminated her from playoff contention here at the Scotties. I am joined in hour two by not the voice of curling, but he's right up there.
I'm a voice.
He's a voice.
That counts for something.
It is Brian Mudrick.
My voice
TSN.
Is working.
Exactly. Brian Mudrick from TSN does the morning draws, does a great job in the morning draws with Kathy Gauthier. And just because you're done with the morning draws doesn't mean you're done. You're going to be around this weekend for the playoffs.
No, it's great. We have Curling Day in Canada again tomorrow, Mitchell, yep. Which is something we did last year, obviously brainchild of Curling Canada, TSN, and celebrating the game coast to coast across our country. And it was a huge success last year. Just talking grassroots curling, telling stories, getting involved with a tankard, getting out to communities, and hearing people's stories right across Canada when it comes to curling. A couple NHL teams, as you see sometimes, do some bonding. They'll throw the stones out and realize that it's not that easy, because it isn't. And we have a lot of fun with that. Myself and Bob Weeks will be hosting that show, Curling Day in Canada, on TSN. It'll be at 4 o'clock local time, 5 o'clock Eastern time. And it'll be right in between the 3-4 page playoff game and the 1-2. So it's a great way to celebrate curling. What a day of curling we have on TSN right across the network. So pretty excited to be hosting that with my buddy Bob Weeks, who we co-hosted last year. I don't know who keeps who in line there, Bob or I, but that's all right. So Bob's in town. We're going to promote the day as well during the fifth end break, I believe, tonight as well. So during the final draw, draw 19.
I thought that was Bob I saw here earlier this afternoon when I was down doing the interviews with Robin Silvernagel. I thought, geez, I know it's getting warm here in Moose Jaw, but I don't think Bob can bring out the clubs yet.
Yeah, he was joking with me. Do we got a tee time lined up? should we play a little bit? But no. And of course, what does he tweet out or Instagram out? I'm in Moose Jaw, the birthplace of Adam Hadwin, one of the best golfers in Canada, right? So no, great to have Bob as part of our coverage, and looking forward to a great day tonight and wrapping it up here and tomorrow, obviously, in the final Sunday.
I obviously want to talk about what we've seen on the ice here over the past couple of days, but I do want to talk more about Curling Day in Canada. Obviously, hockey is the sport that most of us have grown up with, and the stories that we can tell. And I'm sure you're part of those stories growing up. But curling as well, there are just as many great stories about curling. And it can be stories from coast to coast, from border to border. I know that this sport is ridiculed by some, and I understand that, although it's a lot better now than what it used to be. But certainly this is a game that Canadians are very proud of.
I think I've been, you know, lucky enough to cover a lot of sports during my career, starting out in Alberta and SportsCenter for a number of years and reporting and whatnot, and now with the Montreal Canadiens. Curling is different. It's unique because you are seeing a teacher or a mom or a lawyer, or it's everyday people that are just like you and I, Mitchell, that love this game, and they put their heart and soul into it. And I mean, a lot of people can't afford to be full-time curlers. I mean, in theory, there's some of them that are able to make that sacrifice and get the funding and do it, but it's why it's so unique, because, you know, Team Saskatchewan, they're rock stars right now. But you know what? On Monday, Robin Silvernagel and the team goes back to being moms or working or doing whatever they do for their families at home. And that's why I love it. And the stories and the people you get to meet, Emma, the young lead who is deaf and hearing impaired, and curling with her auntie, Marianne Arsenault, and how not only does Marianne look at her as her niece and how special that was. Marianne's moving up to BC to retire, but she'll keep curling. But that was their final Scotties together. Here's this young lady who, and I don't even look at her as having a disability, because she's brilliant, she's funny, she's smart. You know what she's doing? She takes hearing aids to underprivileged countries. She was in the Dominican.
Really?
Yeah, and she started that at her university back
in
Nova Scotia. And she's donated something like 1,000, I believe, hearing aids for people in need. I mean, how cool is that? And at the juniors, the Canadian juniors, a young girl from New Brunswick, and you would never even know she has a prosthetic arm. And can you imagine not being able to have an arm or that stabilizer when you push out?
Yeah.
And you would never know. And in talking to her and how she can sweep, and she has turned a disability into something that you don't even notice, and has inspired a lot of young people to come up and curl. So those are two examples of incredible stories of what we get to cover.
And here's the other thing about curlers as well. And you do the Montreal Canadiens games on TSN, so I'm just going to use the Canadiens as an example.
Sure.
Ilya Kovalchuk has just signed a one-year contract for $700,000 as a free agent. You will never, ever turn on SportsCenter and hear that Rachel Homan has signed a three-year, $500,000 contract to go curl in Alberta. Or Robin Silvernagel is leaving Saskatchewan. She has signed a four-year deal with New Brunswick worth $1.2 million. You're never going to see that because, as you said, they are just ordinary Joes and Janes like you and I. They love the game. They're playing the game at an elite level, and they're playing a game that they love. And you're right. All these people, they're going to go back to work on Monday. Robin Silvernagle's probably not going to get a lot of work in on Monday because everybody's going to be asking her how her week was. And that's one of the great things about this sport. And they don't come off, and I don't know if it's fair to say this, because there are some pro athletes that can have their nose up in the air a little bit. I have never seen one curler, man or woman, that has sort of thought, you know what, you're a waste of my time. I'm here, I'm like, you know, I'm bombastic, I'm the story here. You're never going to see like a Terrell Owens personality in curling. And if you are, I don't think that person's going to last very long.
No, and I think that is the beauty of the sport. I think that's what engages the fan base. I think that is what you see them win or lose. I mean, I remember Krista McCarville, devastating loss to Nunavut, and it could have ended. You never know how it all shakes out.
Yep.
And there she is, though, after the game, and she's signing autographs and getting photos with kids. And you just never know who you're going to inspire. And I look at Robin Silvernagle, who is from Bigger Saskatchewan, home of the great late Sandra Schmirler, who
and
we lost way too soon.
That's a great story that you guys told this week that I think people knew about here, but that we didn't know about across the country.
You know, and so here she is, a young girl, got a photo with Sandra when she was a young curler in Bigger, and I think her mom actually curled with Sandra, I believe, in high school, and they competed with and against each other, and she got to, like, have a look at the, you know, the trophy and the medals and put the jacket on and the crest, and look at Robin Silvernagle now. You know what? Like, now here she is, just one of many young women across the country, likely inspired by Sandra Schmirler and how she changed the game.
And I think there are a lot of kids that are also watching. They're seeing the Rachel Holmans, the Jennifer Joneses, the Caitlin Laws, the Robin Silvernagles. Next week, they'll see the Matt Dunstones, the Brad Jacobs, the Brad Gushues, and they'll want to take up this game. And I know you guys do the juniors, and man, there are a lot of talented junior rinks coming up. And I've said to both Kirk Myers and Matt Dunstone, that Ryland Kleider kid's going to throw a monkey wrench into one of your plans, because obviously there's a lot of people here that believe, yeah, if it's not Myers going to the Briar, it's Dunstone. I think Ryland Kleider is going to upset the apple cart somewhat, because that kid can curl, and we know what he's done in the juniors in Saskatchewan. If he takes all four with him up to men's play, I get a feeling Ryland Kleider is going to be at the Briar within the next 3 to 5 years.
As long as he's not playing for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's
young
true.
Guy could play some football as well. What, isn't he like an all-star playing football in the prairies here as well? So he's an incredible young player. I saw him in back-to-back juniors. And one of the greatest stories might be Tyler Tardy, who was a three consecutive Canadian junior gold medals. Never been done since 1950, all right? Decided that he'd done all he could do to win and forfeited his last year junior in his hometown. It was in Langley, BC at his rink, and he just decided it was tough. We talked to him. He was really torn with it, and he decided not to play because he was the number one seed in the men's playdowns in BC and lost the final to Jimmy Cotter and his team that will be at the Briar. So the future is very, very bright coming up. And I don't know if you've heard, but I can tell you that both teams out of Manitoba, the Zacharias team and the Jacques Gauthier team, are into the gold medal games for Canada.
Yeah, I've been seeing just sort of during your broadcast, you have the updates, and obviously this is taken away from that event because usually we talk about it as well. But yeah, Mackenzie Zacharias and Jacques Gauthier, who is Kathy's son, if you didn't know, in the gold medal game at the World Juniors. Brian, we'll take a break, and we'll talk a lot more about what we've seen here and what we can expect on the weekend when we come back. You are listening to The Sports Cage, a presentation of Nelson Holmes on 620 CKRM.
It is 5:23 with your afternoon rush. Welcome back inside The Sports Cage. Team Saskatchewan has officially been eliminated after losing 9-4 to Team Ontario at the Scotties in Moose Jaw earlier this afternoon. Team Northern Ontario will join Manitoba, Team Wildcard, and Ontario in the playoffs. Saskatchewan heads into their final game sitting at 5-5, and they will play Team BC, who is also eliminated from playoff contention. Game time tonight at 6:30 p.m. And the BC Lions have signed a pair of receivers in free agency, inking both Dominique Rimes and a former Rider Caleb Hawley to contracts today. And the Pats play three home games in 3 days in a row starting tonight. That's very rare, to say the least. The first game sees the Saskatoon Blades come to town at 7 o'clock under the Orange Top tonight. And we will have the game for you starting with the pregame show with Phil Andrews starting at 6:35. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, boy oh boy, head over to the Brandt Center or sometime this weekend and take in some Regina Pats hockey. Let's head back to Moose Jaw now with Mitchell Blair.
Zinger, I'm just going to just change it up just a little bit on you. You know I'm a big Pats fan, but I'm going to say this.
Scotty's
right.
Brandt
Center tonight. You can go to the Brandt Center tonight if you want.
Right.
You can go to the Brandt Center tomorrow night. You can go to the Brandt Center Sunday afternoon. But you've got time to come down here for a Page playoff game and then go to the Brandt Center.
That's true.
You've got time to go to the Brandt Center on Sunday afternoon and then come down here to the Mosaic Place for the final of the Scotties.
As long as you have some gas money, and that's all you need. It's not too far away.
Exactly.
It's 40 minutes. So good call.
At least, yep.
Good call.
Regina,
Scott.
Moose Jaw. Those are the places to be in the province this weekend. Pats three home games in three nights, and of course the Scotties finishing off here. Mitchell Blair with you. Derek Taylor not with me today. He'll be back next week. Derek with some personal business to attend to back in Winnipeg that he got called to. So. He is not with us today. Brian Mudrick from TSN staying with me. And, Brian, obviously I think there'll be a lot of disappointment in the crowd tonight, the fact that Robin Silvernagle won't be getting into the playoffs. A tough week for Robin, but at the end of the day, she really has nobody to blame but herself for it. Those four games in 24 hours that she had to go through, A, to finish off the preliminary pool play, and then starting the championship pool play and having to beat New Brunswick in a tiebreaker, that just took a lot out of that team, and it would have taken a lot out of any team this year.
And that's the real challenge with this format. We were chatting off the air just briefly during the break, and it is really tough to not only play in that game, because even if you win that game, you're 4-3, you're already back against the wall. I mean, last year in Sydney, overall three losses was all you could afford. Four losses you weren't in. So even the fact she wins that game and then right back on the ice in that championship round of eight, you were already in tough. Tonight she'll wrap it up for Pride, obviously against BC and Corinne Brown, former Canadian junior champ. And to me, what this is a chance to go out on top, win in front of your home crowd, who's been great to Robin Silvernagle and that team. It took her two finals. Remember, she lost back-to-back finals before she finally cracked through and made her first Scotties in Sydney. Now, back-to-back Scotties appearances. That experience goes a long, long way. You have to, it seems, lose before you can find a way and learn the lessons to win. You could bring up a guy like Brendan Botcher for years in Alberta, up against some of the heavyweights, fought and fought to finally get there. He gets to the Brier, and what does he do? Back-to-back Brier finals. So sometimes you just have to take your lumps and your losses, build on that, and come back stronger and learn from these experiences.
There are a lot of rinks that are here that were in Sydney last year when Robin finished, second, lost to Chelsea Carey, lost to
Rachel. She was in the 1-2 game.
Yes.
That's right.
She was asked today if there was a difference between this year and last. And she said that she thought it was a tougher field this year. And I'd have to go back and take a look, but I know that there were a lot of the rinks, as I said, were there last year. Some have said after what she did last year, and I don't think anyone expected her in year one at the Scotties to have the performance that she did. Some are asking if she's taken a step back this year, and I don't think she has. I think she obviously had a couple of rough shots. That game against Manitoba the other night was done before it had started, and she had some bad luck in that game. You're right, there were a couple games that she should have won. Maybe the Northern Ontario game. If she wins that one, it's a different story for her. As I said, I don't care who you are, if it was Rachel Holman, if it was Jennifer Jones, if they had to curl four games in 24 hours, I don't think they'd be curling very well either. I would think this is more of a learning experience for Robin Silvernagle than a step backwards. And I think that as many good rinks as there are in this province, Robin's going to be right there next year to go back to Thunder Bay. She'll be right in the mix of it. I really don't think this is a step back for her. I think this is more of a learning experience for her.
Agreed, and I also think it's how you deal with it, right? Like, you can go back and you can look at the tape and kind of break down where did we go wrong this week and where did we break down. It was really tough, as you mentioned, even if you win the tiebreaker, which they did to get into the round of eight, it was going to be an uphill battle. I believe this field was as strong, if not stronger, this time around. When you have Chelsea Carey's comment to start the week, she's Team Canada, Mitchell, and was the fourth seed. Think about that.
Yep.
All right. She called it, this is Chelsea's quote, not mine. She called it, we're in the era of the iconic teams in Jennifer Jones and Rachel Holman. Jen with six titles, Rachel, even at her young age, with three. And somehow Chelsea Carey, I think we got to give her more credit. She deserves more credit. She won two during their era, those two teams. So right now, it is tough in women's curling to come through and make that statement. To me, and I'll leave it at this on this point for Robin, it's how you take this loss and go forward. You know, to me, the incredible story is Krista McCarville, who barely goes in bond spiels, I think played in three events or slams or whatever, and she has so much, I think, just raw talent to come back each and every year and make the playoffs. Five appearances now in a row, her last five in the playoffs every time.
And maybe Team Canada and Thunder Bay next year if things go right for it.
Well, and it's funny, she talked about that. That's a huge nugget for her.
No
and
kidding.
Even she said, you know what, I might have to take a step back and maybe take the year off to be Team Canada and just be ready to roll in my home city.
Brian, can you hold on for one more segment?
Yes, sir.
Sounds good. Brian Mudrick will be back with me. We'll talk about the playoff teams, what to expect here this weekend at Mosaic Place when we come back. You are listening to The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. The Galetinov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game.
Do
you believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable.
The smoke and play of the day for JB Sausage Maker Supplies. They're your one-stop shop for pure spices, seasoning, and equipment. Visit jbsausage.ca. Mitchell Blair with you at the Scotty Sermon of Hearts. Of course, the play of the day. 40 years ago tomorrow, Lake Placid, New York, the miracle on ice, the U.S. beating Russia. I saw that game. They played it a couple weeks ago on ESPN Classic when I was putting together the play of the day today. I forgot that Ken Dryden was the analyst with Al Michaels that night. And if you take a look at what Al Michaels was wearing that day, I don't think there is any broadcaster who will ever wear what Al Michaels was wearing that day. In fact, it was bugging Drew Postie because he's going to have the game to the Pats game tonight on Access. And I said, Drew, there's a look for you. And he just shot me a look.
Wow. I'm going to wear that tomorrow for Curling Day in Canada.
Are you?
Yeah, the exact look.
All right, I'll tune in for that. I'm not even going to come now. I'm just going to stay at home now and tune in for that. Yeah, you're going to have to go and take a look to see what Al Michaels was wearing on that one. Brian Mudrick with me. Brian, we know who the four playoff teams are going to be. I came into this week, I know last Friday when DT and I were here and we were talking about the wild card game, Tracy Fleury, Jennifer Jones. And I thought if anybody's going to stop Jennifer Jones from winning her seventh, it might be Tracy Fleury because... Yes, Rachel Holman delivered one to her on Saturday night in draw two. But as I said earlier in the show, Jennifer Jones has just been getting rid of the competition this week, and she's getting better and better. And right now, I would put my money on Jennifer to win number seven.
I don't think a lot of people would disagree with you. It's interesting, though. She got a couple of breaks early on in the competition and a couple of nail biters that maybe she didn't deserve to win. But every team that wins a national championship and a long week like this, you need those. You're going to have a few. I mean, Corinne Brown had her on the ropes earlier this week, and Jennifer Jones dug way out of trouble. I think it was down by six, I believe.
6-1 after three,
or 6-1 was it, and she came back and ended up winning that game. But that's what it takes, and Jennifer Jones is the heart of a lion. She's a champ. No one has ever won seven. So that's something to look for this weekend. She's got six tied with the great Colleen Jones. Rachel Holman's won three. She's got unfinished business. The last year comeback, it was 5-1 in that final. Holman was leading Carey. It was the biggest comeback in Scotty's final history as Chelsea Carey basically stole that championship. And don't count out the other two in Anderson. And we've seen both these women lose and make a final as Chelsea Carey that beat Krista McCarville in Grand Prairie for her first. So this is a real compelling Final Four to me.
Jennifer Jones talked about it yesterday. She was asked, is there a point in the week when you know that this is going to be a good week? And she deflected it as anyone would do. But it just seems to me that there's a look in her eye this week. And earlier on in the week, you're right. You could see the frustration with Jennifer this week with a lot of games, especially that game against BC, when shots were missed. She was having problems with hits. She was having problems reading the ice. It looked like she was a little too wide on some shots, and she sort of got that all together. But it just sort of seems to me that there's just that look that, yeah, you know what? That trophy, you might want to start engraving our name on it again.
You know, it's been a tough week for Jennifer this week, starting the week, but she has built momentum, and she's really looking like she's got the eye of the tiger again. She's had, you know, an emotional year in losing her father, which I know was really tough for her, and she spoke about that in winning the wild card. And we all saw the emotion on her face when she won that wild card game to get in and what it meant. And you know that she's thinking that her father's looking down on her, and I think it's special, and I think this means a lot to her. And to get that number seven. And the one thing, you never know as athletes, Mitchell, when there's going to be another chance. You just never know. And especially on the women's side, maybe there's families, maybe there's, you know, back home, another, you know, children. You just never know, right? Especially on the ladies' side and when you could get back here. So for Jennifer, I think she's got that fire in her belly again. And you know, don't count her out. Rachel Holman, though, gave it to her, didn't she, in earlier in the week. And that's why tonight, you look at the games remaining, we should point this out. So you got Manitoba, Ontario, and then wildcard Jennifer Jones, Northern Ontario. So 9-1, Ontario wildcard, they're 9-1. But because of the head-to-head, if both teams take care of business in their respective games, Ontario is the number one seed, right? So, and that's important. You know, you got the Stones to choose from, you got Hammer. So that is, you know, that's huge. That's a big deal with teams that good at this level.
I know a lot of people have talked to Jennifer this week, and if this has come out, I haven't seen it. I don't know if you or Kathy or Vic, Russ, and Cheryl have talked about it. Jennifer's now in her mid-40s. Another Olympic cycle is coming up. She'll be getting close to 50 by the time that Olympic cycle comes to an end. Do you expect them to curl beyond the next Winter Olympics, or do you think Jennifer Jones is going to try and get to wear the Canadian jacket at the next Winter Olympics, and even if she does get it or if she doesn't, that might be the end of what arguably might be the greatest women's curling rink that Canada's ever seen?
Well, number one, I would never, ever want to speak for her, and that's obviously her decision to make. I'd be more curious, though, as to what like Caitlin Laws would do, right? Because Caitlin obviously is younger and has a lot more years ahead of her. But I think right now, for Jennifer, that's obviously something we'd have to ask her, and that's in her mind. You know that you know she's making a push for this one more, the cycle in the Olympics. I mean, she made history undefeated in winning that gold medal for Canada. That was pretty incredible. But one thing I can guarantee, you just got to look back to the last one when it wrapped up. There are massive changes every year as soon as those trials are wrapped up and the cycle comes to an end. Massive changes every year. So time will tell. You'd have to ask her that question, though.
And as I said, I don't know if that question's been asked to her this week. As I said, I've only chatted
She wouldn't answer it anyways,
and
Mitchell. She would tell you,
would.
I know her well enough, she'd say, you know what, that'll take care of itself. I'm focusing on my girls right now and on this championship right now.
Rachel Holman, obviously, you know what Rachel Holman can bring to the table. We talked about Krista McCarville. She's been to a final. She could be in a final here again. She could be Team Canada. What a thrill that would be for Thunder Bay. I'm guessing organizers there are just...
you think?
Yeah, I'm guessing they're
They'd be sold out the day after.
No kidding.
I guarantee you, the Scotties... you heard it right here on the Sports Cage. Scotties sold out at Thunder Bay if she's Team Canada the next day.
No kidding. And Carrie Enerson, I'm just trying to think. Has Carrie been in a Scotties final?
Yes, I believe she has. I'm trying, but you put me on the spot.
Yeah,
but yes, she has. What year did she? No, that was Michelle Englott lost that crazy one in St. Catharines. That was to.
Because I don't think a team wildcard's ever been in the final, and Jennifer could be the first one.
And it's I'm trying to think because they, team wildcard, I believe, did make the final, and that was in Penticton. All of these skips. I don't think. I mean, you can go advantage Jones, and you go advantage to Holman because they've won. They know what it takes. Once you're a winner, you know what that takes. And obviously the other two skips have not won a Scotties title. But, man, they've been right there. And I don't think it's a massive difference, maybe until you get to that moment in 10 when you got to draw for the win.
Before I let you go, obviously when you leave Moose Jaw, you'll be heading to Kingston, Ontario. The Briar starts, a week from tomorrow?
It's the wild card. Actually, I just saw Mike McEwen, who will be playing in that game against Glenn Howard. He's here cheering on his wife, obviously, and Don.
So... just sort of give me handicap the Briar for me because, again, you could throw so many rinks up and you could do this again and have four different rinks make the playoffs. Brad Jacobs, Brad Gushue, Kevin Kuhn, Glenn Howard could be in it. Mike McEwen could be in it. Jason Gunnlaugsson is in it. Matt Dunstone's
in it. How about Epping in his own province?
Epping's
is
in it. Like,
it could be a wild card guy in there, right?
This is going to be a fantastic Briar. Obviously, we're pulling for Matt Dunstone here. Matt Dunstone has shown he can play with guys like the Jacobses and the Gushus at slams. He won a slam this year. He's going to be in tough. He's going to have everything go his way, but it is going to be some fantastic curling in Kingston.
You know, that's to me, and Matt's such a great young guy, and I know he's from here, and you want the best for him, but to me, that's a show-me event. And what I mean by that is show me you belong. You know what, get into that Final Four. But right now, I mean, you got the usual suspects in there. And how about this? Just in the wild card game, whoever wins that is right away you could another favorite, right?
Yep.
You got Glenn Howard, who has been there a million times and has all that experience. Mike McEwen, who nearly represented Canada at the Olympics that close against Cooey the one year.
Yep.
He has all the experience. He's been so close. I mean, I think it's all you knock him off. I think Kevin Cooey, you know, was right up there. I'll tell you what, since Mark Kennedy has joined this Brad Jacobs team, though, there is something going on there. They have something special,
agreed,
I think, going on there. They really do. They've won this year. They've looked great this year. They've been really strong. And Brendan Botcher, we didn't really talk. Back-to-back Brier finals. I mean, it's going to be – there's going to be some real good teams not making the playoffs.
No, there's going to be some great curling in Kingston. It's going to be great. And seeing you and Kathy doing the morning draws and seeing Vic Sherrill and Russ doing the evening draws, it's going to be great. It's funny you mentioned the Olympics. With all these great teams in both men's and women's curling, I think everybody's sort of forgotten what happened at the last Winter Olympics.
Maybe by design.
Exactly.
Actually, but hey, we had a gold medal, Caitlin Laws and Johnny Moe, who's a fifth, by the way, for John Epping.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool, and to have Caitlin and John bring that gold medal home.
Curling Day in Canada, just hawk it one more time.
Yeah, so we got Curling Day in Canada. It's massive for us between the 3-4 game and the 1-2 page playoff game. 4 o'clock local time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We basically celebrate the game. It's an hour special, and I can give you one little nugget. We got a couple of really fun announcements that we're going to make as well involving Curling Canada and things going on, and we're going to go coast to coast. And the other special one, the Brier Tankard is somewhere in Canada for a little party in a pretty cool spot. So that's kind of one of the cool things we got
nice
going on.
If I am not here tomorrow, I'll make sure I PVR it, and if I'm sitting at home tomorrow, I'll make sure I'm watching it. Brian, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Have a great broadcast tomorrow on Sunday.
Mitchell, appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right, Brian Mudrick from TSN with us. When we come back, we'll hear from Chelsea Carey, and we'll also hear from the lead for Team Silvernagel, Kara Tevno. You are listening to The Sports Cage from the Scotties Terminal of Hearts on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. It is 5:49, almost wrapping up the week here from Moose Jaw. Team Saskatchewan is wrapping up their 2020 Scotties tonight against Corn Brown and Team British Columbia. Both teams have been eliminated from playoff contention. Team BC going out with some kind of a bang. However, they defeated Team Canada 9-2 this afternoon, eliminating them from the event officially, and the Saskatoon Blades are at the Brandt Center tonight to take on the Pats. 620 CKRM has the game for you, as always, starting at 7. This will be the third meeting of the year between the two, with the Pats taking the first two. Can they make it three? We shall see. There's a rhyme. Columbus Blue Jackets leading goal scorer Oliver Yorkstrand is expected to miss the rest of the season after he suffered a sprained and fractured ankle during Thursday's loss to the Philadelphia Flyers. He's expected to miss 2 to 3 months, meaning Columbus would have to make a deep playoff run for him to return this season. The Jackets are already without defenseman Seth Jones. They're without forward Cam Atkinson. And yet they're trying to make their way into the playoffs. Very banged up team right now. There are 6 games in the NHL tonight, including the Bruins in Calgary and Edmonton, a home to Minnesota. And also today, the Vegas Golden Knights are sending Cody Eakin up north to Winnipeg. In return, Vegas gets a conditional 4th-round pick that could go to a 3rd-rounder, depending on how the Jets and depending how Cody Eakin does up there in Winnipeg. So there's your sports ticker. Mitchell Blair, how you doing out there in Mosaic Place?
I'm doing
friendly city
of
Moose
Jaw. I'm doing good, doing good. People filing in for the last draw of the championship pool. Of course, the Page playoff games will go tomorrow, the final on Sunday. The Robin Silvernagel rink will not be in the playoffs. They were eliminated earlier today with a loss to Ontario. After the game was over, lead Kara Tevno spoke with myself and several other reporters.
You know what, we just weren't sharp enough, and they were playing really well, and they've been playing really well all week, and it's just one of those games that you kind of put behind you, and we still have one more great game to go play, and so we're looking forward to that now, and sometimes these games happen.
What are the emotions you're feeling right now?
You know what, it's I don't get too worked up over games, so it's more about just going back, having something to eat, and getting some rest, and coming out and just playing really hard tonight. And then whatever the cookies crumble, we probably need a little bit of help from some other teams, but there could still be life. So just enjoy the moment, too, and enjoy playing at home in the crowd.
What's it been like here this week for you?
It's pretty remarkable. The first couple days, especially on Sunday when it was really loud, you kind of heard the roar, and it was pretty exciting. But it's actually a few days later, you kind of expect it now, though, too. So it's just all about enjoying the moment. You don't ever know when you're going to get back to events like this. So it's been a lot of fun.
Just a quick question. Is this team maybe feeling a little bit of the grueling schedule you guys had yesterday? Like, that was a lot of games in a short period of time.
Yes and no. Like, I mean, we started the game quite well, and, you know, we nose that blank, which isn't the end of the world, and then they got a nice deuce, and no, they put the pressure on us, and they had really good rock placement, and we just weren't sharp enough.
Is there a difference from this year to last year with the way everything has gone or not? Wins or losses aside.
Not really, but there's 8 really good teams here, and I don't feel that the field was quite as strong last year, and I'm pretty sure there's like 5 of the 6 top CTRS teams in Canada are here, so it's a good field, and you have to make a lot of shots, and when you don't and you have misses, then they capitalize on you, and so sometimes that's showing up, and it's sometimes about making the right shot at the right time too.
What have you guys learned this week?
You know what, we just went out and done our thing. So every time you're in an event, that experience is always going to help you, just like we've been in the last 4 provincial finals, and we've gotten better and better every year. So there's lots that we'll look at after and take that forward with us.
Mitchell Blair back with you. Hour 2 of the program about to wrap up, and hour 3 we'll have Justin Dunk with us. You heard from Kara Tevno, the lead for Team Saskatchewan, moments ago. Let's go now to Chelsea Carey. Chelsea, of course, the skip of Team Canada. Her rink just did not play well here in Moose Jaw this week. She was also eliminated this afternoon from playoff contention after a loss, and she spoke with several after it was over.
We weren't far off of good things. We just couldn't quite get it together. We showed flashes of it in a couple games, but couldn't produce it as consistently as we need to.
Joseph, what was the confidence level of the team coming in here? I mean, you struggled at the Continental Cup, and I imagine you weren't in the best of mood going out of that Continental Cup. What did you do in those weeks leading up to this? What was the confidence level coming in?
We practiced. We had a couple good team practices, and, you know, 10-in games is a bit different, so we revisited our game plan and kind of reminded ourselves what we did last year in 10-ins, because we didn't play playdown, so you don't get the 10-in games in. And we rested and recovered. It was a lot of curling in December and January, so we took some time to kind of get a little extra sleep, let the body rest a little bit. I think we did everything that we could do. It just didn't come together this week.
Can you drill down at all? Was there a trend? Was there a specific element of your game that you think was missing?
I'm not going to get into that. No. I'm not going to get into that. No.
No?
Did the team feel like their backs were against the wall all week type thing?
Sorry?
Did the team feel like their backs were against the wall all week type thing?
Well, no. We got ourselves into a pretty good spot, and then we lost our last round robin game, but we still got in, so we were okay. And, you know, it's going to be tough in the championship pool, but, you know, we still had a chance. I mean, we needed a lot of help today, so even if we won that game, good chance we're not in anyway, so that's not a great feeling, but we still wanted to come out and play well, and we had lots of chances early and couldn't quite take advantage, and then in the back half we didn't make as many shots as they did. That's how it goes.
Can you reflect on a year of being Team Canada?
Being Team Canada is a huge honor. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's unfortunate that it didn't go better this week, but we've had, you know, we wore the maple leaf with all the pride we feel we could, and that's all we could really do. We can't control whether we win or lose. We just tried to conduct ourselves in the way that we feel Team Canada should, and you know, I think we did that in the face of some adversity this week.
Chelsea Carey, the defending champions, who will not be defending their championship as she was eliminated this afternoon after she was defeated in a game. It was who knocked her off here this afternoon? It was BC beating her by a score of 9-2. Corinne Brown stealing 4 in the 8th end to give them the 9-2 victory. Chelsea 4-6 going into tonight's game. Of course, as I said, 1 draw left. People filing in to Mosaic Place for that final draw of the championship pool game. The 2 games they'll be paying attention to tonight. Team Wildcard, Jennifer Jones 9-1 against Krista McCarville 7-3. And Rachel Holman 9-1 against Manitoba's Carrie Enerson 8-2. McCarville, Jones, Homan, and Enerson all going to the Page playoffs. All right, hour two in the books. When we come back with hour three, we'll head out east, talk to our good friend Justin Dunk, as we do every week, and get the latest from the CFL from Justin and 3downnation.com. You're listening to The Sports Cage for Nelson Holmes on 620 CKRM. Hour three of The Sports Cage underway. We are at Mosaic Place in Moose Jaw. We've been here all week. The 2020 Scotties Tournament of Hearts starting to wind down. The championship pool wrapping up tonight. We already know what four teams are going to be in the playoffs. There'll be Krista McCarville of Northern Ontario, Jennifer Jones, Team Wildcard, Rachel Holman and Team Ontario, and Carrie Enerson and Team Manitoba. One of those four teams will hoist the Scotties here on Sunday night. If Jennifer Jones does it, and I sort of seem to get that feeling that she might, this will be her record seventh Canadian Women's Curling Championship. I've had a couple of people ask me about attendance, which has been pretty good here in Moose Jaw this week. But I don't know if they're going to get to where they were in 2015, and that surprised me. They had just over 70,000 people here for the 2015 Scotties Tournament of Hearts, and that was a great event. In fact, it was so great that one of the reasons why they came back here 5 years later was just because of this building, the people, the attendance, everything else. The attendance going into tonight's draw, they are at just under 46,000. So a draw tonight, you've got three of them. They should be close to 70,000. I thought they'd be a little bit higher than that, but certainly nobody is complaining here about anything that's gone on. If there are any complaints, it's maybe the fact that Robin Silvernagle won't be one of the final four, but hey, you can't have it all. All right, we head out on the Western Pizza hotline. Western Pizza for a limited time. You don't pay a delivery fee when you order from participating Western Pizza locations online or through the app. We head out east and talk to our good friend Justin Dunk. JD, how are you doing on this Friday night?
Pretty good, buddy. What about you, Mitch?
I'm doing good, doing good. Hey, have you ever curled in your lifetime? I know you're a former U Sports quarterback, or I guess a CIS quarterback back in the day. Have you ever curled?
I've never curled. Used to play a lot of pond hockey as a kid, but we never got the rocks out. I should give it a shot one day. What about you?
I curled a long, long time ago. And, yeah, you just sweep and it became too much work. Just became too much work. Now, Mullender's looking to get it. Mullender wants to get a team going. 5 years ago when you heard Mullender was here, and he said, you know what? I'm going to get three guys. We're gonna kill this sport, man. And of course, Jared Allen has done that down south of the border. Luke says, you know, that he's had other things to do because he hasn't got that money that Jared Allen has. Luke still has to work for a living, but Luke's still convinced, though, that he's going to get out here curling. So
let's see it.
We'll see. We'll see. That'll be a three-down nation story for you. Mullender goes to Breyer as Team Nunavut. Just saying. Free agency. Things have sort of dried up a little bit. Dominique Rimes, Caleb Hawley signed with BC today. Who has won free agency in your mind, or can you say that yet?
You know, I'm really not one of those proponents of going out and spending a big amount of dollars and saying that's the winner of free agency and they're going to win a Grey Cup, because we've seen over the years, Mitch, obviously the Calgary Stampeders keep their own, replenish, rinse, and repeat. So overall, if we're talking about who, quote, won free agency, I would look at a team like the Hamilton Tiger Cats coming off a franchise best 15-3 regular season. Yes, they lost in the Grey Cup, but they were able to retain a number of those key players, especially on the defensive side. Jagera Davis, Dylan Wynn would be among them, while sprinkling in some talent around those guys at value. Sevier Posey, a game-breaking receiver, and Patrick Levels, a versatile defender, add to a Ticats group that was already the top of the East Division.
Okay. Where do you put the Riders as far as free agency goes? They obviously did a lot of work before free agency. They've just sort of tweaked their roster a little bit. Some people are saying, I know talking to people here in Moose Jaw, they've been going, how come the Riders aren't getting anybody? They don't really need anybody. They got all their guys back before free agency. So I think that even though they haven't done a lot, they have done a lot, if you know what I mean.
I'm with you, and I think they would be in that same thought process is the Ticats. They won the West Division last year. They secured Cody Fajardo to that two-year extension during the season, bring back Shaq Evans. All the entire secondary returns. You can't help that Derek Moncrief signs an NFL contract with the Las Vegas Raiders. So, you know, other than Micah Johnson, who there's some varying sort of reports on out of Saskatchewan, that Craig Dickinson maybe wasn't the biggest fan and maybe was a bit of a diva to deal with off the field, so they felt like they could move on there, save some of that money, and use it elsewhere to retain the guys that they thought were key to that locker room, Solomon Alamimian being top among them. So overall, yeah, you're not signing some sexy names, but that means you're not spending a bunch of money either. And if you trust your scouting staff, as the Riders have shown in recent years they can do, then you should be a contender for the long term, not just the short haul.
JD, there's some changes coming within the Players Association. Brian Ramsey isn't going anywhere, but CFLPA President Jeff Keeping has decided enough is enough. He's not going to seek re-election as president. Is there a reason for that, or has he just said, yeah, I've had enough?
Well, there's always more to the story, Mitch, as you know. And for as many positive things as Jeff Keeping has done, there are a lot of players frustrated with the CBA that was signed just last year. And we saw a lot of those veteran, especially Americans, that went without getting the type of money on the open market and free agency that they thought they would get when the minimum was raised because the cap didn't go up. So as good as the players thought that deal maybe was at the time, they didn't realize the ramifications of it. So I think that deal had an impact, as well as Keeping smartly realizing that last time he barely won the presidential election going into those CBA negotiations. It was nip and tuck against Keon Raymond. So he's likely thinking, you know, I can sort of go out on my own terms here and not be beat out of that president's chair.
You mentioned the name Keon Raymond. Does he move into that slot? No, obviously there's going to be elections. Who might take over that spot?
Well, there's going to be,
or is that too tough to say?
It is a little bit. I imagine there's going to be some guys that throw their hat in the ring, right? We've seen, let's say, for example, Solomon Alamimian was a key voice in those CBA negotiations. I would imagine he might have some interest, although that's probably not going to be until his playing career is over. So I would think he'll probably seek to stay on as a vice president. Keon Raymond obviously tops the list. He's been the most vocal. But I wonder if Brian Ramsey might want to try to slide over into the president's chair, or we find a recently retired player, likely on the Canadian side, that has gained the attention of the union membership that puts his hat into the ring. And I really believe it's one of the underrated storylines in the CFL, because the players last year actually had leverage when they threatened to strike and didn't get as good of a deal as they should. So this president voting could be very critical for the union going forward.
JD, you do a lot of Canada West football on Sastel Max with the showcase. You've seen a lot of Canada West football. The invitees for the Western Combine were released. There's a lot of good players that are going to be going there, some of them from the Regina Rams. Andrew Becker, Theron Churchill from the O-line. Brandon Brooks, one of their defensive backs. Eric Wachowski, one of their D-linemen. Who are guys that, when you take a look at that Western Combine, are guys that you think can advance to the National Combine?
It's always going to be the offensive lineman, as boring as that might be. And Andrew Becker is one of the most athletic offensive linemen in the draft. The only drawback the teams are going to look at is his concussion history, because he's had a few of them. So yep. Is he worth that pick? How likely do you think it is he'll have another head injury, and could that, you know, potentially end his career? So I think Andrew Becker really has a chance to rise up draft boards, and I'm sure he'll turn some heads at that Western Regional.
What about Theron Churchill? Because I know he's a guy that some CFL scouts have been interested in as well. And I thought Theron Churchill, and you talked about Andrew Becker's injury problems, and maybe it's because of that, but I thought Theron Churchill was the Rams' best O-lineman this year. Do you think he has a shot at getting to the National Combine?
I do, Mitch, and I would say the most consistent, because he stayed on the field. There's a lot of talk among CFL scouts about how tough Theron Churchill was and the way that he plays the game with an edge and a bit of nastiness, that they really like what they've seen on film from Churchill. So although he doesn't get the direct invite to the National CFL Combine, should be a really good shot if he tests well at the regional that he goes. But even if he doesn't go to that event in Toronto, there's still a better than good shot that he gets drafted.
You talked about the O-line, and obviously O-linemen, Canadian O-linemen, are the gold for CFL teams when the draft comes. Was I'm taking a look at what the CFL has put out as far as its top prospects, as far as the people that will go to the Western Combine, the people that will go to the Eastern Combine, there's a good smattering of talent across the board, offense and defense. There's not really one position, well, obviously O-line, that people are going to be looking at, but really, if you're a CFL general manager, you've got some pretty good options just about across the board this year, don't you?
You really do, and a lot of people want to talk about the quarterback position with Canadians. Adam Sinagra, who plays out in Canada West, is going to get a serious long look by scouts as they evaluate his film. It honestly wouldn't surprise me, because the Dinos are so close, if they maybe try to get him on their roster in some form or fashion, whether that's drafting him in the later rounds or scooping him up as an undrafted free agent. And then, as you mentioned, you look at some of the other positions, and I'll sort of stick with Canada West. Machu Bakru is an athletic receiver with the Manitoba Bisons who has impressed. And just up the road there in Saskatoon, Sam Baker is a guy that, you know, if you can stay healthy, a little bit of a fluke injury with the collarbone that he suffered a couple times with the Huskies, that he's a guy that scouts see as a classic CFL-type slot back as a Canadian.
There you go. Anything else on your mind before I let you go tonight? Have you got any nuggets of information that you're going to drop this weekend?
I will say, Mitch, you're reading my mind, buddy, that keep it locked to Three Down Nation. I'm zeroing in on the landing spot for Nathan Roosevelt. I've got a lot of questions recently from Riders fans wondering where Roosevelt will end up, and I believe if you keep it locked to Three Down Nation, we will have an answer over the weekend.
Well, that's good, because I've had a lot of people ask me over the last week. In fact, I had one ask me about during the 5 o'clock hour before Brian Mudrick came on. He came walking by, and he's like, I heard you guys talking about Nathan Roosevelt in the XFL. Is he going to go there, or is he going to sign with somebody? And I said, well, I don't think Nathan's going to the XFL. At least I don't expect him to, but if there's no other offers, he might have no other choice. But, yeah, I think Nathan Roosevelt's – I'm quite – stunned that Nathan Roosevelt hasn't signed somewhere. So I'll be looking at Three Down for that this weekend. JD, thanks for the time.
You bet, buddy. I'll tell you, it won't be the XFL, and it's somewhere east of Regina.
Oh, don't tell me he's going to Winnipeg. I didn't mean to hear that. All right. Thanks, JD.
See you, buddy.
All right, Justin Dunk with us, threedownnation.com. Nathan Roosevelt in the Bombers uniform? Oh, it was bad enough seeing Dressler in a Bombers uniform. I don't want to see Roosevelt in a Bombers uniform. Let's hope it's further east. He can go to Ottawa.
Yeah, Winnipeg.
He can go to Montreal.
Gross.
Maybe he's going to Montreal because Quan Bray is going to be out of action for a while with 157 pounds of weed. Mike, I'm still shocked over that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll finish it off here for Moose Jaw. I told you I was going to bring up this story later earlier in the show. Bradley Bozeman of the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if I want to go to dinner with this guy. I'll explain when I come back. You are listening to the Sports Cage from Mosaic Place on 620 CKRM. Mitchell Blair with you for one last time here from Mosaic Place. We have had a great week here at the Scotties Chamber of Hearts. Before we wrap things up, I want to thank everybody at Mosaic Place in Moose Jaw for setting us up the great location that we had here this week. Want to thank Al Cameron and all his guys at Curling Canada for all the help they gave us this week. Want to thank all our guests. We had a great time here this week. As I said, DT had to leave us a couple of days early due to a family emergency back home, so we'll talk to DT next week. But it has been a great week here. 5 years ago, we did this show from here, and it was tremendous. And it's been better this time around. I think that Moose Jaw should really take a bow, because the city has been buzzing this whole week, and I don't remember it being this way 5 years ago. The city has just been alive, driving in, coming in, seeing the way that the whole city has just grasped this event. And of course, it's not over yet. The final will be on Sunday. I think at the end of the day, Jennifer Jones wins her seventh. Rachel Holman will probably be her biggest obstacle, but there's some great curling yet to be had here. And, of course, the last draw of the championship pool goes tonight. Robin Silvernagle takes on Corinne Brown. I don't know if Silvernagle will win or lose, but I think this crowd here in Moose Jaw will be appreciative of her efforts this week, even though she doesn't get into the playoffs, and we'll give Robin a solid round of applause when everything is said and done. All right, I promised you this story. As I said, our good friends at the Brew House are advertising the Tomahawk Steak Night, which is tomorrow night. You can get a 30-ounce steak with all the fixings for just $39.99. a 30-ounce steak. Zinger, that's a big piece of meat, right?
Sorry, say that again. My headset cut out, Mitch.
A 30-ounce steak. That's a big piece of meat, right?
Yeah, that's like, how many pounds is that? How many? I'm not good at math. 30 ounces
I know,
is how many pounds? That's a lot of meat.
I don't know, but here's this from Ravens' Bradley Bozeman.
Okay.
In his first year as the team's starting left guard, he held his own against the likes of defensive linemen like Chris Jones and Cameron Hayward. But his most memorable feat, taking down a 72-ounce steak. Yes, you heard me right. A 72-ounce steak. Earlier this week, Bozeman crushed a legendary eating challenge in Texas. He devoured a 4.5-pound steak, shrimp cocktail, baked potato, salad, and butter roll in 50 minutes. Bozeman, who's 6'4", 317 pounds, says, I knew it was going to be tough, but I didn't think it was going to be that tough. The last bite was rough. It was really rough. Bozeman stumbled upon the Big Texan Steak Ranch in Amarillo, Texas, while traveling cross-country with his wife to speak to students about his anti-bullying campaign. The restaurant says 110,000 people have attempted the challenge, which comes with a one-hour time limit. Bozeman became the 9,828th person to finish it, less than 9%, and received a T-shirt that read, I ate it all. The Big Texan's Twitter account, at the Big Texan, has a picture of Bozeman with the shirt. The restaurant seated him on a stage that's elevated 3 feet off the ground and a chair that backed up to the grill. The steak was then placed in front of him. The portion that came out in front of you was a slab of meat. Bozeman said it was a good-tasting steak. I was surprised, to be honest. Zinger, I like my steaks. A 72-ounce steak, 4.5 pounds. How long would it take you to even come close to that?
I would probably need three supper times, three or four. So if I started it on Monday night, I could probably finish it by Wednesday or Thursday.
I can't even imagine
how many,
what
you said,
a 72-ounce steak would look like.
I get a 12-ounce. Like, I think that's like regular, the biggest one. You could, is it 12 or 16 at the... at the keg, free plug.
16, I believe.
So, yeah, 16, whatever it is. But, yeah, 70. That's
72 ounces.
That's a lot of
4
meat.
4.5 pounds of meat.
It's a lot of meat, bro.
That's a lot of that's a lot of steak. All right. We are going to wrap it up from here. The 6:30 draw about to get underway, the last draw in the championship pool. As mentioned, Robin Silvernagel taking on Corinne Brown. But win or lose, her Scotties will come to an end at the end of the night. Not as good as Scotty's as it was last year in Sydney, Nova Scotia for Silvernagel, but as she said earlier today, a tougher field and a lot of things. Man, just a couple of games, a couple of shots, that's all that's maybe separating her from being in the playoffs. All right, that is it for all my guests today. Zinger, for you, thanks a lot. We'll be back Monday in studio. The Pats and the Blades coming up next. Phil Andrews will have the pregame show for you. So go Pats, go, and... have yourselves a great weekend, Saskatchewan. We'll catch up with you Monday. You've been listening to The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.